It's us.
Hello.
We're on.
We're back.
We're here again.
That's like 2 weeks in a row.
It's almost becoming a regular thing.
Don't say it.
People, expectations will be raised.
I know. It's terrible.
How are we today?
I think we're okay. Probably a little bit tired, me and you.
It's a feet up Friday feeling today because I am exhausted and I have cracked open the Red Bull.
The drink of podcasters.
Oh my goodness me, do I need the energy. Slightly waning as we're going into this weekend.
And I spent my day cleaning, so I've got that horrible, like, ugh, tired feeling, but for no real reason.
Lovely way to spend your day off, I find.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. But never mind us, how's everyone else?
There are people in the comments again.
There are people in the comments from Germany.
Actually from Germany?
Well, in Germany.
That's quite exciting.
That Amy and that Bassano, they are attending the race this
weekend.
They
are no way tuning in from overseas.
Amy is listening.
I say sea, it's less of a sea and more of a big river. But still, it's another country. Yeah. Awesome. Hello, Amy, and hello, Bassano. That's very cool. I can't believe they won't get any buffering. That could be an interesting challenge. Who else is in the comments? Do you want to give us a quick pseudo roll call whereby you might miss occasional people because we don't actually know specifically?
A sumo roll call?
Pseudo.
Oh, not sumo. That's something completely different. We've got Lukey and Jana and Chris and Will. You and me, I don't think we count. And Pat. Relaxed Driver was around earlier. Haven't seen him in the last few minutes, I think. Will?
Yes.
Yeah, then I think that might be it.
Okay, Jana, I've just noticed Jana said she can't get the playground to play, which there may be a reason for that. I can't remember whether I uploaded the thing or not. Hold on.
The playground is supposed to be like the last resort where the thing, if nothing else works, the playground should work.
Did I?
But you've broken it,
no,
haven't
I did.
You?
I did update the playground. No, I did that. Is that the right file? Hold on. No, I did that because the playground is sort of like, it's not really integrated and I have to go in and manually type it. And I may have just not typed it right or something.
You're going to check that out. I'm sure we did this last week as well. We were on time. It was all going well. And then you had to make some tweaks.
I would suggest that the playground should work fine. But then I'm not really able to. There would be an awful feedback loop if I tried it myself now. So I'm just going to say with a lot of confidence that I've done everything right. And it's
as long
me.
As you can hear it somewhere, that's the main thing.
Yeah. You sound good today. You sound loud.
Do I?
Nice. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Jana's playing around with her Galaxy, so I'll see. With any luck, she might get it to work. She has got it to work in the past, so, well, let's see how it goes. What are we doing now, then? We're going to record a Feet Up Friday show?
This is the plan? Yes, we might just do that.
Oh, goodness me. Okay.
I think there's not masses of stuff to talk about, because there hasn't been a race or anything since we last talked. We've got a few topics on our minds, but as always, if anyone has anything they want us to discuss, we'll take suggestions.
That's not what you mean, though, is it?
It is.
What you mean is I haven't had time to write any show notes today, so if people could just tell me what happened, and that would be great.
No.
Write a show for us.
No.
Thanks, commenters.
You said this last week, too. It's not. It's just when Journey was here, he said, topic suggestion, this, and this, and I really liked it. That's all.
Okay.
It's in addition to.
Uh-huh. Do we have enough content to make a show without the commenters?
Yes.
Promise?
Hopefully.
Okay.
You're so mean.
I'm honest. It's not mean. The truth. Right.
Well, I'm sure you've got a jingle you'd like to play.
I have many jingles.
What are we going to start with?
What's your lead topic then? It's Friday. My feet are semi-up. Like, sort of elevated. On a box. It's Feet Up Friday. What have we got to talk about? Formula One is in Germany.
Yes, it is. We are not.
Some people are.
Some people are.
We should say hello to Amy and Bassano. They're attending a Formula One race, which is a radical idea in this day and age to get off your backside and go to a circuit pay the extortionate Formula One prices for Formula One in real life.
No, I'd say it's a radical idea to be able to actually get in the door, gate.
Yes, Hockenheim has seen similar weather conditions to that of Silverstone, but I haven't heard much in the way of traffic problems.
Well, actually, I think Bassano was reporting back that the transport situation in Germany was brilliant. Shuttle buses to and from, connections waiting exactly where you need them to be.
And this in spite of the deluge that Germany is suffering at the moment? That seems remarkable. It's almost as if they can organise things over there.
Yeah, it sounds good. And they're doing a sterling job sending back pictures and things on Twitter, so it's all good stuff.
Awesome. It feels like I'm there.
We've only had one day of action so far, free practice Friday, and you can never read too much into Friday anyway. Plus, it was a wet.
Define action.
Well, what I don't think is good is that Pastor Maldonado was fastest at the end of the day. That's not on.
Why was he fastest?
Because he set a time and then it rained.
So when I tuned into free practice 2, there was no action because all the cars were in the garages and the drivers were sitting out. And it looked like it was going to be a rained off session. It dried up for a period, did it? It got slightly better.
Yep.
Pastor put in a fast time and then it rained again.
It was so dry that they enabled DRS, but then it rained and they disabled it again. And then Schumacher crashed, which was quite fun because he did it right outside, right below a grandstand full of little German people who came rushing across to take pictures and I guess not cheer on their home driver he crashed.
Was it not also the Mercedes stand?
Was it?
I think it, because they have their own, they've got their own cordoned off section, which right. They built themselves.
Even more embarrassing.
I think it may have been somewhere around there. I haven't looked into the details. That would be slightly unfortunate.
He's given his team a lot of work to do overnight, but I'm sure they'll be able to fix it up in time because they've got ages before qualifying.
As did Bottas. The superstar, super sub, Friday driver, he binned Paul Senna's car.
Did he?
Free practice one, they had to repair his car. That may be the first thing the guy's done wrong. Since becoming a Friday driver.
Wet conditions are always a bit tricky for the rookie drivers.
Yes, that's true. It wasn't ideal for him. But I have high hopes for that guy, and it seems a shame.
Despite today.
Before today.
You can't be perfect all the time.
No. I was quite excited, as I tend to be with new car development parts.
I'm not going to like this bit, am I?
With Lotus have an innovation, but it's such an innovation that they are frightened to run it. Formula One doesn't allow testing, therefore, points mean prizes. That's rubbish. That's a terrible sentence.
Points win prizes. They're saying it's muffled.
Muffled? What's muffled?
The sound.
Amy said she's moved to the window in a desperate attempt to get better internet. I can't fix that. I don't know why I sound muffled. I'm the same as normal. I'm the same as always. I don't think. I disagree. I think the commenters are wrong.
All three of them have said it.
Well, nothing's changed. No, I can understand the music being muffled because I've got the wrong cable, and we've talked about that before. There is nothing.
Maybe it's just that because you're so tired,
I am just
muffled,
slurring
yourself.
My words. I am slowly falling asleep at the desk.
clearly, but
no, there's nothing I can do. But I'm afraid, just listen to my own ears. 1, 2, turn it really loud and see what I sound like. I think I sound great. No, I can't. I can't do much about it other than just being fast asleep. anyway, right. Where did I get to?
Right, so we were talking about the really exciting parts and developments and things. I don't know if you want to start that again, because you actually said points win prizes or something, which is
I went down a topic of conversation. I couldn't remember where I was going.
You might want to start again and say I was really excited about...
Yes. I must mention something that I'm sure will bore you silly, because it always does, but I am quite excited by Lotus's innovative rear wing DRS system. I don't know if it has a technical moniker yet. I don't know if it's got like some kind of some name that we can hang on it, but maybe double DRS is probably what will stick with it. I like what Lotus are doing with the back of their car.
I've seen it referred to as double DRS, and also someone was calling it super DRS.
Super DRS. So super that the team are frightened to run it in the race.
Yeah.
That's how super it is.
It's so super they've opted against it. But I think they said because they don't know how it will hold up in reliability terms, and that's why they don't want to run it yet.
I think Lotus suspect they might be in with a chance of a win at this Grand Prix. They've been knocking on the door of the top step for a long time, and I suspect that anything that might risk that is deemed too risky for them right now, because they're in a great position. They're in a great position in the championship, and it has to be absolutely understood before running a new part. And because of the weather, they've not been able to get the data they need, which is a shame, because you've got two races It's a back-to-back. You've got back-to-back races whereby other teams can't react and copy the system. So if they got it to work, they could have got it. You know, made a great leap forward with this innovation.
I was going to say that. It's one thing to say they don't want to lose any momentum, but equally they are going to need something to propel them forward because they're sort of stuck in a bit of a limbo at the moment.
Well, the problem is they've got the fastest car. They've had the fastest car. They've not had the fastest drivers driving it. And when Grosjean is driving it, he's managed to get himself mixed up in with silly mistakes, and also I think for this race he's got a gearbox penalty to take.
Yep.
So wherever he finishes, he's going to be 5 places back. So they have the car has pace, but with this system it may have even more pace.
But if it's the drivers that are the problem, it doesn't matter how much pace you get in the car, it's just never going to get there.
Well, that is true, but then you have Jacques Villeneuve, and you know Williams put enough pace into that car to get in the World Championship, so it can be done. You can outpace a bad driver with a good car.
While we're talking about developments then, also, didn't McLaren bring some new stuff? And it seems like Jenson Button is actually happy.
God help us all. McLaren need to find some pace to bring the fight back to Red Bull and Ferrari, who are looking like they might run away with the Constructors' Championship. One of those two. They're making a break for freedom in that championship, and we need McLaren back in the fight. I think the McLaren car is a fast car. I don't think their race strategy and earlier season pit stop errors have made the chassis look worse than it really is, especially with Jenson Button's troubles driving that car as he has been. I think the car is pretty good, but what the drivers need is confidence, and McLaren are pinning all their hopes on new side pods for Germany, which should they want to put the car back up the field where it was at the start of the season, effectively. They've fallen behind on the development race, and it looks like this might be enough to put them back into the fight.
Both the cars, they were fastest in FP1. They had a 1-2, but then again, as we have discussed, it was wet, so it doesn't really mean anything. Also, because it was wet, Pirelli brought those experimental hard tyres again, and they are just not getting what they want. The weather is not cooperating.
So they first attempted to try the experimental hard tyre in Silverstone, and Friday was a washout. And so they turned up with the same tyres for Germany, and Friday was a washout.
I think they did get a few laps in,
and
but not really enough to do anything useful. Although, Paul Hembree, I'm pretty sure I saw in the official statement in the press release that Pirelli sent out, he said it was far from a wasted day. As in, you know, it was fine, we did okay. But Autosport having a quote from him saying, we had a few laps, but we learned absolutely nothing. There's a difference of opinion with himself.
Paul is the king of positivity in Formula One. And no doubt he wants to put a nice spin on things. However, you cannot have gleaned anything from today's running. Not of any use, especially with anything other than an intermediate or a wet tyre.
They've ditched them now, and they might bring them back for Japan, which just seems crazy to me, because doesn't it always rain in Japan?
It has. They have had tropical storms at Suzuka in the past. I don't know why Singapore... Do they know why? For example, why? Because it's... Right, it's the circuit, of course. Hold on. Thinking out loud, he says, why aren't they bringing it in until Japan? Hungary isn't the right circuit. Spa, they could have brought it to Spa. I would have brought it to Spa. Oh, it rains there. It rains everywhere!
What was that?
Sorry, you might want to edit that out. I was just trying to think why I hadn't...
I mean, he says, I can find you the quote.
Tell me the quote. Want. Tell me why they're not bringing it to... until Japan, because you've got Monza would be traditionally not a wet race and a circuit where you could perhaps run a hard tyre.
He says, ideally, I'd like to take it to Suzuka and have a go there if we can get them rebuilt in time.
Rebuilt? Tyres?
Or failing that, certainly Brazil or something at the end of the year. There's not really much point in Monza and we haven't got time for Spa.
What?
That's what it says.
What does that mean?
Oh, you... I can only read you the quotes. I cannot tell you what the man meant.
Fine. Well, okay, that makes a bit of sense. I've never heard the terminology to describe a tyre as being rebuilt. I cannot fathom what he means by that. It's rubber and you fill it with air. Okay, fine. He knows what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. That's all I can say. Have we lost Germany?
Have we lost Germany?
Yeah. Amy's given up on the stream. She hasn't got enough bandwidth.
Oh. I wonder what you meant then. Like fall off the map or something. Right. Can we have a sweeper there, please? Mm.
I need some more Red Bull.
I don't think you do. I don't know if you heard that last sentence.
I was thinking out loud.
Well, I've got to edit that.
And you just redid it. Do you want me to redo it? I can redo it now. Let's redo that conversation.
No.
No? Okay. Try and help you. I try and help you.
Right. I don't know how to go into this, really.
Okay. Do you want to give me a clue?
I gave you show notes this week. That's a step in the right direction.
I don't know where you're going, though. Give me a pointer.
Well, I thought I'd just go back to the top, seeing as we've done all the stuff at the bottom.
Mm. Oh, is that how... Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about Caterham, then. That's on your list? Oh, is there anything else to talk about in Germany before we finish off there? Is there any other discussions?
Well, we have to do the predictions, but I was going to save them to last.
Yeah. Anything else Germany-wise before we move on? It feels like... Qualifying, arrange, nothing
else. Hasn't happened yet.
Nope, I was trying to think of anything else come to mind about that. No, let's go to Leafield then. Okay. That is where we'll have to leave Germany because that's as far as we got. It's Friday. There's only been a day of running. Qualifying and the race still to come. What has happened prior to Free Practice Friday in the Formula One world?
There was an interesting press release from Caterham, which it was... essentially, pages and pages of quotes from Tony, who was very, very excited because they are finally on the move to their new factory in Leafield.
So Tony was so excited, he started talking and he kept talking and someone had to transcribe all of it.
But
1,500 words of press release.
I don't know why they decided to keep it all in the press release. He said the next time they are back in the UK, that's the trucks.
Let me just stop you before you, Karen. You're not reading all of it.
No, okay. I won't read 1,500 words of it. The next time they're back in the UK, they will go straight to Leafield. And that is excellent news for everybody associated with the Caterham Group. More than 200 of the F1 team staff are making the move to Oxfordshire over the next few weeks. So actually, I don't think that is excellent news for everybody associated because that's 200 people who have to move house. And I've moved house a lot and it's not fun. It's not good news.
So what we can conclude from this is that you can't run a Formula One team from Norfolk because very few people... desire to move there and to work on a Formula One team in that area. So instead, Tony has moved the Formula One team to Formula One Valley in the hope that they can poach members of other teams and get them to come and work for them. They are they've relocated to the old Super Aguri factory, and that's closer to the home of Formula One in the UK.
Yeah, technical director at Caterham, Mark Smith, he added, he was allowed to get a word in edgeways in the press release. He said, one of the immediate benefits of the move is in attracting people to come and work with us, which is what you just said. So that means there are 200 people who are moving house with their factory,
yes.
And then they're also probably going to be replaced at some point. So I can't see this as good news for anyone.
Interesting. So you don't think they're going to add to the workforce? They're going to replace the people who were happy in Norfolk as soon as they've relocated... east, west. My geography went wrong there. As soon as they relocated west.
Yeah, I mean, what the press release is really saying is, this is great news for us, but you lot, you're not very good at your job, and we're going to have to relocate to find better people. Sorry.
Interesting. Lukey in the comments pointed out that he's surprised that Caterham are moving from Norfolk, because way back when the team began, Tony was keen to prove that his team were the heart of Lotus, and they were obviously built near the old... Lotus factory, but now that's gone. That all went up in smoke thanks to Mr. Danny Behar. They are no longer the Lotus team, so it doesn't matter where they are. They don't have any roots effectively. So now they are the new Super Aguri team.
Yeah,
confused.
Oh dear. I mean, I don't really blame them because if it was me, I'd want to be as far away from the Lotus name now as possible. It's caused nothing but chaos and confusion.
Run and keep running as far away from Norfolk as you can go. What I do like is that What I do like is the trucks have left one location. They've gone away and they have to come back to a whole other
place.
That
is weird.
And in the meantime, the factory moves underneath them, which seems slightly confusing. Imagine if you went to work one day and you, when you came home, your house wasn't where you left it. Instead, you have to park somewhere else.
Well, I bet they take the wrong turning and go back to the old one by accident.
They might want to reprogram their sat-navs.
Yeah. But it was also interesting because they said the factory is moving and we're on time, we're on schedule. We said, I think it was back in January, they said they were going to try and do it in August. So this is good. They're on time. But they're also still going to be undergoing redevelopment in the factory while they're there, while they're moving in, settling in, turning themselves into whatever Formula One team they want to be.
Mm.
Also, while still redeveloping the factory. I mean, that just sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It's amazing how long it takes to move an F1 team, because there was rumours of this happening this time last year. And then it was confirmed in January, and they are still working on the redevelopment now. And this is an existing Formula One factory that just needs tidying up and polishing up and
maybe a bit of paint.
Yeah, a lick of paint and a few new carpets. How can it take so long?
If anyone from Kate remember heard that, they'd be like, just a lick of paint. How dare they?
It's a Formula One factory. It's not, I don't know. It's just, it's bricks and it's mortar and you stick a wind tunnel or two in there and, you know, it's just,
a like, kiln, that's easy as
an
anything.
Autoclave, and what else do you need to do? It's not, I don't know. Compared to building a Formula One car, it seems trivial, and they did that in no time.
This is true.
Is that all your Lotus stuff? Do you want another sweeper sweeper?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a plane going over?
I don't know what that is.
Hold on. Yeah, I think that's a plane.
A plane. Honestly. We really should have this airspace like grounded while we're recording.
No fly zone.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Other news this week. There was another Marussia statement with more on the Maria De Villotta crash.
Oh, good Lord. Do I need to have another rant about Marussia?
No.
Oh. I kind of do, actually, but go on. Tell me what happened.
Isn't it
in the statement.
Just the same rant over again?
Go on. Tell me what they said. Remind me. I vaguely recall reading this and thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe they managed to get worse than last week when I complained about them. But what did they say?
They said they have excluded the car from the cause of the accident.
That's right. Yes. Their car is practically perfect in every way, and it was nothing to do with them, even though they.
That isn't really what they said.
What did they say? Quote it to me. That's how I read it.
We are satisfied that the findings of our internal investigation exclude the car as a factor in the accident.
Okay, so that's a non-denial denial?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends. If you are dead set against them like you are.
I'm not dead set against them. I'll tell you what quite annoyed me. You know how last time I complained that their social media person is beyond hopeless?
Yep. Which I don't think is true. I think clearly following instructions, so it's not their fault.
I think that team's approach to social media is beyond hopeless.
Better.
Right. The latest statement was put out on Monday. I think it was put out Monday morning. And rather than reference the facts that the statement had appeared on their website on Twitter, they tweeted something entirely obscure like, do remember that our website is your pit stop to Formula One news. And what? Hold on a second. There's nothing damning in this statement. There's no reason to hide this statement from the world. Why reference it in such an obtuse and bizarre way? Our website is your pit stop to everyone you... What? Give me a break. Anyway, so that annoyed me. But it also, I felt that the statement tiptoed around a lot of unanswered questions. For example, if the car is so wonderfully perfect and in no way to blame for anything, who is to blame? Because somebody must be. Is it the driver? Is it the person who put the driver in the car? Who signed off the day of testing? Who parked the truck where they parked it? I mean, somebody somewhere must be responsible for it, and Marussia are refusing to point any fingers or answer any questions. It seems like they've said, right, the car's fine. Let's not talk about it anymore.
They didn't say they're not going to talk about it anymore. They said that they've looked into it. They're happy that the car isn't fault, and that's good because it means that Glock and Pick probably aren't going to crash anytime soon. And they're waiting for the other investigations as well. They've not said, that's it, we're never talking about it ever again, shh, it never happened.
So you're expecting more from them?
I'm sure there will be more in the future. I think this was just like an interim thing. And they can't just say, if it was her fault, they can't turn around and say, yeah, she did it, it's her fault. She's still in the hospital.
Well, yeah, I know that. But what I'm saying is, the thing is, if the driver was at fault, somebody said somebody trained the driver. Somebody put the driver into a simulator and said the driver is capable of driving this car. So that person presumably must be at fault too. Somebody signed it off. Somebody took the money and said, yeah, we'll give you a driver's test. You know, we'll give you a test. Can I give Marussia £1 million and will they just plonk me into a Formula One car without any, you know, no questions asked?
Is not that the after sort of this.
Is that the sort of team that they are? I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. You know, if you have enough money, could you just buy any old test with Marussia and they wouldn't care? They just say, yeah, you can have a day in our car. We'll drive you out to an airfield, plonk you in the chassis and just press go. Off you go. See how well you do. I don't know. I think there's more questions to be asked. I'm surprised
of course
the FIA,
there are.
I'm surprised the FIA aren't publicly asking them.
Because it's not finished yet.
It sounds finished. We'll see. It sounds like they've done their investigation and they're happy that the car's fine. Thanks.
I don't know. I think they were just saying it because they don't want people worrying about the car and thinking that...
Who was worried about the car? I wasn't worried about the car. Were you worried about the car?
No.
I didn't think anyone was really worried about the car.
Fine. I hate arguing with you. I'm rubbish.
Oh. Okay, fine. Then, bottom line, I still think that they are terrible at social media. But that's...
I think, you know, we got that.
It's
only two shows in a row.
Well, every time I say they're hopeless, they get worse. Why are they not listening? They didn't get... I complained on Friday. They got worse on Monday. That's not progress.
Why do you think they would listen to you?
Because they're not doing a very good job on their own.
You're suddenly an expert.
Well, I'm better than they are.
Yes. You have never, ever got into trouble on Twitter, ever. Never upset anyone.
I've never denied writing a post on SciPodcast on Twitter. Have I? Have I ever wrote a post on SciPodcast and said, don't look at our site today? You won't find anything of interest there.
They linked to it.
They didn't.
They did. They linked to MarussiaF1Team.com.
And then what did they say about our website being nil pit stop?
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
It said that and then a link to the site. It didn't link specifically to the story.
Oh, no, right. It just linked to the homepage.
Yeah.
Just have a general browse around our website.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they annoy me. I'm sorry. They annoy me. They generally, I think they're a waste of space. But anyway, that's a different discussion. It's a waste of two perfectly good grid slots. It is.
I'm not arguing. Now you're just getting defensive.
Well, fine.
Only if we can put Glock somewhere else, though, because he's quite bad.
I think they ruined Glock's career. I think his...
Well, he didn't have anywhere else to go, though.
He showed loyalty above and beyond the call of duty at that team. And I wish somebody would pick him up and move him on because... I mean, okay, answer me this question.
Oh,
here's a question for you.
Don't turn on me.
Yeah, of course I can. You're the only one in the room. The comments are about 30 seconds behind. I can't turn on anyone in the comments. Tell me one interesting thing you've learned about Charles Pick in 6 months. Anything. Anything at all, thanks to Marussia, that you've learned about Charles Pick since the start of this season. And I'll open that question to the comments.
That it's actually pronounced Charles Peak?
That's it, is it?
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I genuinely think that team are an utter waste of space. They bring nothing to Formula One whatsoever. Stuff them.
Yeah.
We'll see if the comments can come up with anything else. I genuinely can't think of anything that Marussia have... I can't think of any way Marussia have enhanced the 2012 season.
Well, when they had Jerome, and they made him go on a plane and stuff, didn't they, and scare him?
That was last year.
That's what I mean.
Oh, they were great. I'm not saying they've never brought anything to Formula One. I think they were brilliant last year. I think they've... Something either happened over Christmas.
I haven't finished my thought.
Okay. Sorry.
Which is just going to be, so what changed, essentially? But you built it up. Lou says she doesn't think she even knows what Charles looks like.
I don't know what he looks like. You're not the only one.
I think he looks very, very young. That's probably...
Doesn't he look like he should be in Busted? Is that him?
Yeah, with like floppy hair.
Yeah. I think, I'm showing my age with Busted. I don't know who...
Oh, bless you.
Oh, who are the cool kids now? Like One Direction then? That's the kind of thing he looks like.
Wow, that is impressive.
There you go. last year and the year, I mean, they were great. I don't know what's gone wrong. I don't know if they've lost members of the team. I don't know if they've completely lost the plot.
Your second favourite, Jeff, left. That's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah, but he left, he left after year one.
Oh.
I don't think he was there last year. They did the camping thing last year, and that was great. I don't know why they've lost it this year. But they've made some bizarre sponsorship, not acquisitions. What is it when you bring on a part, like partnerships? Some of their
what is it when you bring on a partner? What's that word?
I'm tired. They've made some bizarre sponsorship
decisions
this year.
I'll help you through. It's okay.
They have made some bizarre driver decisions. They generally have cocked up the whole third driver situation. And they're embarrassing. They're not moving forward. HRT are in danger of or have already overtaken them. And HRT are one of the most disorganized F1 teams of all time. And they are getting their act together far faster than Marussia. And I don't think they're...
Also, was it Luki that just said that we need a professional rubbish team again? Like someone to love to hate, I guess, is... Kind of like they're so rubbish but lovable. Didn't we talk about this last week? I don't know. Anyway, but
no, but it was a
HRT are like verging on that.
We talked about this in the thread for Ryan's latest and brilliant column.
HRT are verging on that. Marussia are going completely the opposite direction.
Yes,
a team that you hate to hate.
I mean, do you know what? I genuinely can't be bothered with Marussia anymore. Marussia to me. Henceforth, Marussia, some team that I used to know.
Oh, you do make me chuckle. That is kind of all the news, unless anyone thinks we've missed some news. It's been a bit of a quiet week.
Really. That can't be all your show notes.
Well, then the only other thing is the predictions, which will probably keep us talking for a little bit longer. But I don't know that there's anything else super duper.
Mark Webber, we haven't discussed, or was that in the previous show? And did we talk the end off that already? Yeah, we
being re-signed. Yeah, because I said how it
really has been no Formula One news.
Briefly annoyed me.
It briefly annoyed you.
Yeah, like only a little bit. Not really. Yeah, we've definitely talked about that.
Okay,
before.
Fine.
I don't think there has been. I think everyone has been getting ready for Germany.
Are you suggesting that we're doing too many live shows now? That the Formula One news is unsustainable. Had I known, I would have talked more in depth about Lotus's rear end. It's quite interesting, if you care about those sort of things.
Well, in the comments before, they were talking about monkey seats, which is a bit of a Formula One car I'd not heard of before, but I approve greatly.
What is a...
It's a seat for a monkey. Your face.
Are we talking about pasta?
Will, I think it was Will that said it, so ask Will. I don't
know. Well, what are you talking about?
There's a monkey seat. Apparently it's what it's called.
I've never heard of that. I've never heard that phrase before. A monkey seat. I'm trying to imagine what that might be related to.
It's taking over as the new Dumbarflügel.
A monkey seat. Is it to do with the pit wall?
Yeah. Isn't that the Pratt perch?
Right. Not that then.
monkey seat.
I can't imagine what on a Formula One car might be called that. I don't know. No, I can't. I genuinely can't imagine without offending more people.
Well, it's definitely a bit at the back because he was talking about the super DRS, super duper double DRS.
Monkey.
So it's a bit at the back, and it's something to do with airflow and yeah.
Okay. I mean, the thing with what Lotus have done is incredibly ingenious. See the middle of the picture. Oh, there's the picture. I'm looking. Oh, not that website. No, I'm not clicking on that link. You donut. Will, find me another one. Give me a break. I nearly click that.
You, and especially you, because you just click on anything.
I know I do.
Oh, there's a link. Click.
Click, yeah.
It's not even that distinction, really, is it? Link equals click.
Lucas find an extension. Remember we were talking last week about Past or Crash, the game show?
Yes.
Lucas now got a new side pod panel game. Find the car part with a great name. You have to guess what it is. That would work.
I need to be writing these down, to be honest.
There's a better pick. Formula One blog is an acceptable link. I will look at that. Hold on.
I'm just going to write.
You're actually making notes
with
here.
A pen.
See the middle of the picture. Oh! It's not an actual term. It's a... They put a monkey on it.
What?
I mean, Caterham have a picture of... how do I describe that? So the lower plane on the rear wing just above the rain light, they've got what looks like a pair of cuddling monkeys sitting on that section of the car. I don't know which race. I presume it's this race. Maybe they brought the monkey along with it. I mean, that really is a monkey seat, except it's not a real monkey. We have some bizarre conversations. I wish you'd write more show notes.
Yeah, but that wouldn't be half as much fun. Mm.
F1 technical monkey seat. Is it a technical term, or have they just stuck two monkeys on it? I'm confused. Is it called the monkey seat and then they put the monkeys on it? Or did they put the monkeys on it and then called it the monkey seat? I don't know! No one explains things!
Oh, I wish all of that could be the title of the show.
Because it sounds like it's an actual...
Have they just put two monkeys on it?
I'm confused.
Funny. Right. So, in that case, apart from the little, like, admin-y bit at the end...
I'm sorry, I've just... Wow. Wow, really? What a self-serving, arrogant, smug knobhead that guy is, if that's true. Sorry, but really, you shouldn't send me things like that on a live show. I can't bite my tongue when I read that. I can't believe it.
You're allowed to tell me this stuff, not the whole world.
No, I'm sure he knows what I think of him. Who cares? Right. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I can't censor you on a live show. This is no good. I'm not sure I like this live streaming business.
There's no reason to censor me.
Edit you out.
Don't need to censor me.
No, not really, but...
I blame Will for even looking at it.
Let's blame Will.
It's Will's
fault. Blame Will. Blame Will.
Right.
Can we get on with this actual show?
I got distracted by monkeys.
I know. I mean, actually, I think it's going to be a short day, so it's fine.
If there's no news and there's nothing to discuss, what can we do?
No, what I mean is you're fine to chatter. It's not like we're running long.
Right. Can I complain about Keith?
No.
I've got endless complaints.
I could
fill a lot of shows with complaints about that. Yes.
Let's keep things positive. Let's move it on. Do you want to do the admin first and predictions very last, or keep that sort of admin-y bit at the last?
Well, I would like you to choose.
Ugh, you big cop-out, man.
I wondered what you were going to say. Can I complain about the point of Toro Rosso?
He did say earlier, I think.
Davin?
Yes.
Give me a clue, because I will admit that I haven't read every comment in the comment thread today. I do apologise. What was the discussion? Was it a pre-show discussion that I missed? The point of Toro Rosso...
Seeing that Weber's been renewed for 2013, I feel that Red Bull should just rename Toro Rosso, that other team we own with those guys we kind of like to make cry with false promises. That whole Toro Rosso to RBR ladder is a joke.
Now, that may have been discussed either in a column or on a previous show, but there was some discussion probably around the time that Mark Webber was signed.
Yeah.
That wasn't on the Joe show. Hold on. I vaguely remember talking to Joe about this. And you look like you haven't listened to that show yet.
I've listened to bits of it.
You busted. Another mention of busted.
Yeah.
I think I had this discussion with Joe.
When you said busted ages you, you're going to be really confused about the Sugar Babes thing. Because they're back together how they were before. So it's like we've just gone back in time 10 years.
So this is the news that the Sugar Babes have reformed in some kind of formation that I've never heard of.
Was the original lineup, isn't it?
I clearly never heard of them before then.
Rubbish. Call yourself a music fan.
I own...
Oh no, I can't even pull that off.
You can't carry that off discussing the Sugar Babes. No. The first Sugar Babes song I ever heard had the blonde woman in it, and the reformed group doesn't have the blonde woman in it, so I don't know what formation they are in now. I do know that it's the crappiest, pardon my language.
Oh, your language is terrible today.
I do know it's beyond the worst name for a band ever.
Well, it's just their names.
But, yeah, but they have gone to the effort and the trouble of patenting it.
Yeah, I mean, they're quite odd names. I can't see that anyone else is
going to. Who's going to steal that name and say, I want to name my band that?
Anyway, going completely off topic now. That's my fault. Let's not talk about the Sugar Babes.
Right. Toro Rosso. Yes. Yeah, that's right. So I think somewhere along the line, I'm sure I've discussed it, but my opinion of Toro Rosso is I don't understand the point of their Young Driver program. If every time a young driver comes into Toro Rosso, they decide that they're not good enough, they're not what they want, and then they don't have anywhere to put them anyway. And why can't the Young Driver program flesh out all of these problems before they get to Formula One? Surely the point you get to Formula One, you just need to know, are they fast enough and are they right for the sport? Why do they get to this level and then go, actually, we don't really want either of them or anyone, in fact, in Red Bull. We'll just stick with Mark Webber, who was never in our Young Driver program. He was in the Minardi Young Driver program.
Yeah, I think the problem with it is the false promises aspect of it. If they were just a team trying out young drivers and, you know, trying to make their way in the world, then that would be one thing. But because it feels like there is this promise of better things in a Red Bull, and because Vettel, it's obviously worked with him so well, it seems like they're being really harsh to all their drivers, and it's not fair.
See, I would argue that Vettel proved his worth in BMW. And therefore, I mean, he did go to Toro Rosso afterwards, but by the time by the time he got to Toro Rosso, we knew he was damn good. When he was in BMW for the brief period he was in it, he showed his absolute potential then. And that, to me, was enough. So you could argue that Toro Rosso have never actually discovered a driver worthy of stepping up to Red Bull, in which case they're not serving their purpose as a young driver training school, if that's what their purpose is. The question really is it not, rather than a stepping stone to Red Bull, is it not the prize that sells the young driver program to young drivers? So when you're an up-and-coming carter, say at the age of 8, 9, 10, whatever age group that they're racing at, sign with Red Bull and you'll end up in a Toro Rosso, is the promise. Maybe we're wrong in assuming that Toro Rosso is really a stepping stone to Red Bull.
Well, they've always sold it like that. But then I think it lost its way when suddenly good old Dietrich decided to sell it, then couldn't sell it and decided not to sell it. And then afterwards it was like, well, what is it for then? You haven't really said what your plans are. No one really knows. It's all quite up in the air.
You know what Toro Rosso need? They need a mission statement.
They do.
We need to know what they are in Formula 1
for. All the teams need a mission statement. That is a really good idea.
Yes. That would define your purpose and what you are here for. And then we'll be in the clear and we won't have to speculate. Because at the moment, I genuinely think we're the people who've got it wrong and that they're not really a stepping stone to Red Bull. I don't. They just aren't. Vettel was the exception. And since before and since then, no one has ever seemed like they would make that step. Did you ever think that Buemi was going to Red Bull? Did you ever think that Alguersuari was going to Red Bull? Bourdais? Liuzzi? Who else has been through there?
I would have said that Buemi and Alguersuari had the biggest chance if, like, Mark Webber had been out on his ear at that point. But it never, I mean, they didn't really seem strong enough to be in a championship winning car.
No, none of them have. In which case, why weren't they fleshed out before? Why weren't they fleshed out at whatever Red Bull, whatever happens before Formula One? Is it World Series by Renault? Whatever comes before it.
Yeah, but what's also quite odd is that those drivers, they don't go on to other teams. Even, you know, they're not being trained up and then find a role at Williams or at Force India or anywhere. It seems like they come there and then go away elsewhere. I mean, Alguersuari, he's commentating. Buemi, is he test driver at Red Bull now? He's not doing anything.
He's in Le Mans, isn't he? Driving.
Bourdais went to a different series.
Liuzzi
Scott Speed, where are they all now? Nowhere near F1.
I think Liuzzi is the only one. Let me just think this through. Without checking any facts, off the top of my head, I think Tony Liuzzi is the only driver who ever left Toro Rosso and went to another team. And even he needed a bit of a rest. first.
He did a minute to get over it.
No, more than a minute. No driver, that's an interesting fact, no driver has ever gone from Toro Rosso straight into any other team.
It seemed, because it would just seem like if they are a proving ground for young drivers to go up to Red Bull, as we all thought, but they don't manage that, surely there are other seats that they could have gone to, but they don't seem to be doing that either.
I therefore conclude that Helmut Marko's young driver program is an absolute catastrophic failure.
It doesn't seem to be
every
working
level.
On any level, no. It's quite odd. But Lou has said that we are loving the backmarker teams today. We are being quite harsh.
No, we were nice about Caterham, except we were a bit mean about Tony and his speech.
He had a long statement and then wanted to kick out all his employees. Yes. But apart from that, we were very positive.
Oh, yeah. What are the backmarker teams? Are there? Quick, let me be positive. Force India, love them.
Williams, they're on the way up.
They're not even a backmarker team anymore.
Well, no, that's true. They were.
Who's above Toro Rosso in the championship? Who would be next?
Sauber, they're around there somewhere.
Yeah, but they've got a really fast car. They've got drivers. They're like Lotus. They've got a great car that no one can finish with. See, I'm being harsh again.
Stop it.
Find some positives.
Positivity.
Yeah. Whew. It's all going to change with Dan. Daniel Ricciardo. Let me think of something positive to say about Daniel Ricciardo. So he was outclassed by Liuzzi, HRT, but Liuzzi had more experience. He's been outclassed in the races by Vern, who doesn't have more experience. Therefore, I'm not too sure that Ricciardo has that much of a future in Formula One.
Oh my God. You can't say things like that. Lou is going to cry now.
I didn't know he was her favourite. Why is he her favourite?
He's not her favourite, clearly.
No.
Think on.
I didn't know Daniel Ricciardo was a
second
favourite. Why? What's Daniel done?
He's
a cheerful bloke.
He's very smiley. He's not
By the way,
smiley.
No Formula One driver is ever going to come on the show.
Not as smiley as Grosjean, though.
No one can be as smiley as Grosjean. That man smiles when he breaks down.
Yeah. Is any of that Toro Rosso... I'm just editing out loud here, people. Any of that Toro Rosso stuff going in the show? Because that's quite good, actually. Apart from being depressing, obviously.
It was quite waffly, and I don't know if we introduced it very well. Mm. But it was a good question. If you can save that in the edit, you will be... it will be incredible.
Okay, we'll see.
I've heard you editing. No, I absolutely...
I'm editing in my head.
Right, I like now. That you're, yeah.
Everyone says about Dan, but he's so smiley, which is great, but doesn't actually get you an F1 drive, does it? Just being smiley.
I'm just...
Everyone, he's super smiley, so smiley.
I don't want to be mean about it. I've upset Lou now, and I don't know...
I told you you would.
Why is he your favourite?
Because, I don't know, did she get a hug from him or something?
Did she?
Or a picture with him?
At
that place that we don't talk about?
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm sorry. Let me see. Oh, I can't think of anything. Can you think of anything positive to say about Ricciardo?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's not done anything embarrassing. I mean, he's no Maldonado. He's not booted anyone off the track. He seems to be doing a reasonable job in a car that is just nothing. He's not made a fool of himself. And he seems very nice on camera. He talks well, eloquently. He has braces and they're not terrifying. That's pretty much my summary of him.
Yeah. He's, fine.
Yes. And he managed to survive being in an HRT
How many Christine's rankings points does he have?
I don't know.
That's
Shall
the
I
question.
Have a
look and tell me how many Christine's rankings points he has, because that should be the arbiter of everything.
25. He's sitting directly under Mark Webber.
Is he?
That's a rumour I don't want to spread. But
how has Ricciardo managed to do that? He's slipped
table,
under my radar.
Table needs numbers, by the way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There you go.
Daniel Ricciardo is 8th in Christine's rankings. I have totally misrepresented him in this show. I do apologise, Mr. Ricciardo. I had no idea he was so much fun and so cool. How on earth did he do that?
Well, some of it was a picture with Lee.
Mm.
He takes a lot of pictures, doesn't he, on Twitter, and has barbecues and stuff. That's all I can remember specifically. Also, what this table needs is to be able to click and see what they can.
Well, do you know what? I would do that if we weren't going to a meetup.
Shush now. Right, let us move on. We've waffled for far too long.
Waffling is fun.
It is fun, chattering with the people. I like it. Right. The one thing we didn't do when we were talking about Germany earlier is make our predictions. And we all know that who I predict for a race is exceedingly important.
I would like to question that statement.
Well, it's important for them because it means they're probably going to lose.
Right. So, okay, fine. This is important. We need to know then who is going to do badly this weekend, according to Christine.
Who is going to win is Sebastian Vettel, because the Red Bull looks quite fast and it's his home race, so he'll get some oomph from the crowd.
Isn't it a Formula One fact that he has never won here?
Facts were made to be broken. I'm sure that's how the saying goes.
Okay. And that's, do you know what? Here's the real problem with this. I think you're right.
Well, you know what else? I make these predictions with my boss. I've had this discussion many times with you. He also predicted Vettel. Now, we haven't gone for the same person since Australia, where we both went for Jensen Button, and we both got it right. So I reckon this time we're on for a winner. I think the curse is going to be broken, and Vettel is going to win.
I think the Red Bull is going to be mighty. There was a brief moment earlier today when I thought, if that Lotus's new system is as good as it looks in the pictures and works as well as it should work in theory, nobody's going to catch the Lotus. But if they haven't got the what's it to run it, confidence is the other word. If they haven't got the confidence to run it, then I think it's Vettel's race to lose.
Two interesting comments. Lou said, Formula One fact, Seb has never won in July, and it's July. Is that true? How weird. Must be something about the summer months.
Even in his most dominant season, he never won in July.
I have not checked this fact.
I would suggest he probably hasn't won in August either, mostly because since he came to Formula One, there's been a
that
summer
doesn't
break.
Count.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And Will,
well, I believe Lou.
Will said he's backing Hamilton because he'd love him to do it on his 100th race, which is good. But isn't it also Kovalainen's 100th race? So he should also win.
What with that logic?
Yeah.
There's an interesting thing. In theory, I forget how many drivers debuted at the same weekend, but in theory, it should also be, this weekend should be Side Podcast's 100th race, because our first Grand Prix that we covered was Lewis Hamilton's debut, correct?
Yeah, but
he's done 100 races. We should have done 100 races.
We've had long absences.
We've missed quite a few.
Yeah.
It's probably our 50th, roughly.
Yeah.
Which is slightly embarrassing. Kovalainen and Hamilton, and who else debuted on that weekend? I would have thought more than those two drivers started in 2007 and have raced in every Grand Prix since. I wonder if anyone else has any information on that. It could just be those two, but I would have thought there was more starting in Australia that weekend. That makes me feel quite old, by the way.
What, 100 races?
Yeah. I mean, we that's...
It's only like 5 years or so, isn't it?
That's a long time to be podcasting.
Yeah.
5 years.
That is true.
You would have thought the fad would have burned out by now.
There's that positivity for
Sorry.
You.
Sorry! Oh, I am so... Oh. See, the Red Bull, right? It gives you energy. It perks you up, but...
It's not perking you up.
It's not making me happy, is it?
I think what the Red Bull does is... I don't know how to describe it. It sort of exacerbates your personality. And you are a... You are a grumpy old man. Right.
Shouldn't that be the title?
What? A grumpy old man?
And you are a grumpy old man.
Well, no, because I will probably edit that out. Mm. I tell you what I am struggling for titles is with the title for the live stream thread.
What is today? Is that Friday feeling?
Yeah, I'm going to run out of Friday-related things to say.
Right.
Last week it was something about being superstitious because it was right. Friday the 13th.
Mm.
I'm not sure. I need like a theme or something.
Because now we're doing live shows, we've got live threads and new titles.
Well, I have to... And, I mean, we did it before, but it was sort of... Because they came directly after races and stuff, so there was always something that we could...
This
to.
Comes after this Friday.
Especially, it comes on a Friday.
Sorry, this comes after free practice Friday, with rarely anything
happens. It was just something I thought of. I sat down to make the event and thought, I really don't know what to call this. Anyway, More inside chatter.
I'm just catching up on the comments. Sorry. Amy said it's his 100th Grand Prix, but 99th start. So when did Kovalainen, when did he set out a race?
Says, didn't he miss one after his accident at McLaren? He had an accident.
Oh, see, that is history.
Well, it's not that. It's 5 years. We've just started.
That's history.
That. Oh, okay.
I can't remember what I did last week. Heikki Kovalainen sat out a race because he had an accident at McLaren, and I, for the life of me, don't remember him.
You don't remember him?
I don't remember
at all.
Him.
Full stop.
I tell you what did amuse me no end this week, and I might be able to get away with this because Amy's in Germany and she has no bandwidth. But you know how we've always...
I love
always,
a sentence that starts like that.
You know how we've always laughed at the fact that Heikki Kovalainen looks like a Thunderbird?
No.
No?
Who has?
Just me then. I've always suggested that Heikki Kovalainen looks a bit like a Thunderbird. He looked more like it in his McLaren uniform than he does these days. He at least has his clothes fit him now. But he did look a bit like a cardboard cutout for a season. Well, in the new F1 All-Stars game that Codemasters have released, they've made him look even more like a Thunderbird than he does in real life. And I love it. I want a giant cardboard cutout Heikki like he looks in F1 All-Stars.
Race Stars.
Sorry. Yeah. Yes.
That F1 Race Stars thing is...
I need all of those.
It's going to be interesting.
He looks like... See, Luki agrees. He does look like a Thunderbird thing. And then in the game, they've made him look even more like it. Have we got some facts there?
Well, Amy, who knows these things, said it was a Lotus that he didn't DNS'd.
Broken car or something? I don't know.
I'm going to have a look.
Okay.
Look at me doing research.
Tyre failure in Hungary. He did have tyre failure in Hungary. I've forgotten that in McLaren. He did. He went into the barriers. He was all right after that.
DNS in Spain in 2010.
Right. Don't recall it.
He failed to start the race when his gearbox software attempted to select two gears at the same time.
I do that all the time.
That's all I can tell you.
I do that on the way to work every day.
Do we want to mention that then?
Mention that, didn't you just, or do you mean what? Well, are you editing the show in your head again?
Yeah.
Which bit of that conversation is going in the show and how do you want to mention
that? Hamilton has 100 starts and Heikki has 100 starts.
This is going in the show, right.
That
okay.
was.
Yes.
Not all that nonsense we just did.
Were there any other drivers that have 100 starts or were they the only two this race? That's my question.
Gosh.
Has anybody got any? I was waiting for the comments to fill me with facts and either it never came or I never saw it. Could be either.
I am doing research again.
Okay.
You have to fill.
Right.
Watch the TV. Good fill in. I like your style.
I was reading the comments. Hold on. I was looking for something interesting.
I can tell you who is in it, but it doesn't tell me who started then.
No, okay. I just can't believe there's only two. It could just be those two. It just seems like there's not enough.
Oh, Frank.
Oh, Lord.
Horrible Toyota.
So do you want to put that fact in? Is that what you're saying? You want to repeat that fact about the 100 race starts?
Oh, there it does say that. Yeah, we said Hamilton had 100 race starts, and we also said Kovalainen. But
it's only is not okay. So, do you want to feed that in? Do you want me to feed that in? I can tell you from the comments. The comments have confirmed.
Go on then.
The comments have confirmed that although Heikki Kovalainen has attended 100 Grand Prix, the fact that his gearbox failed whilst driving for Team Lotus means it's only his 99th start. That means he's got to wait one more race.
One more week for some
celebratory cake.
That's another race that Hamilton has won then.
Oh, harsh. You can save that in the edit, Mrs.
Yes, of course I can.
Okay, what else we got to cover?
So then all there is left is just that's almost everything we have to cover this week, I think, except for one very important piece of news that we've missed so far, and that is that we have a new leader on Christine's rankings. It happened this week.
Shocker. It's been Fernando Alonso. Is it since the beginning of this season? He has been
since he joined
runaway,
Twitter.
The runaway leader, Fernando Alonso. He has lost his crown at the halfway point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, people have been very impressed and surprised with Alonso since he joined Twitter. Mm. It's shown a new side to him. We've seen some really great photography and some interesting pictures, and he's really opened up to the fans. But he's lost it now to Jenson Button, who is doing some awesome work with his triathlon.
Ah, yes, this is because the worse Jenson does in the season, the more he tries in triathlons.
Yeah.
And as he's having a bad season, he started his own triathlon and he's doing it for charity.
Help for Heroes.
You can't.
Good stuff.
You're going to struggle to compete with that, Mr. Alonso. Even with all your TwitPics and your Twitter things and all the stuff you're doing on social media, Jenson Button is he's doing some fine work
in his triathlons. All it really means is that it is seriously close at the top, just like in the real championship.
I think
it could be anyone's.
Lewis Hamilton is in with a shout too, right?
Yeah, he's right up at the heels too. I mean, I don't know what I was going to say then. Sorry.
Did I put you off?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hold on.
All right. Do you want me to fill some more? Stephen's turn up. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Oh, Pat said Adrian Sutil started in 2007. Sadly, he never made it till now.
Right.
So he never got to 100.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
You knew there was more.
I just did too, just didn't seem like enough. I recall that the very first or the second podcast we ever did, we ran through the runners and riders of the season, and they just felt like there was more than two people where we had to say, I don't know how well they're going to do.
Because don't know who that is.
Who? Lewis Hamilton doesn't ring any bells. Don't know Lewis Hamilton. I'm sure he'll do all right, though. Keep an eye on him.
Apparently he's done quite well in GP2.
I think, actually, on the first ever show, I may have laughed at Lewis Hamilton because he crashed his car in testing, and I suggested he was going to be no match for Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, you might have said that.
Mm.
There are lots of things you've said.
Even in this show.
I have to come in mid-sentence now.
Okay, just do the whole thing again.
Well, the whole thing?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We've got time to kill.
That is almost everything we have to talk about this week, except for one piece of news that is really important and we seem to have missed it so far, and that is that there is a new leader at the top of Christine's rankings.
It's all change at the top. Mr. Fernando Alonso, he's lost his crown.
Yep, I think he's been leading it for several months, since he joined Twitter, whenever that was. He has been pulling away, making quite a lead for himself. But recently, other drivers have been catching him up, and this week, Jenson Button overtook him.
The thing is, Fernando Alonso, I love his tweets, but they are getting a little repetitive. He's running out of ideas.
Well, you know, you go to races, you take pictures with the fans, and I try to only give points for the one thing once.
For originality. Originality wins on Christine's rankings. And Jenson Button, he's the man, because he's got his own triathlon coming up, and he's doing it for charity. That's earned him a lot of points. He's also got Lou on his side.
Rooting for him and
making sure he gets every point that he deserves. And so Fernando Alonso, he is no longer the runaway leader on Christine's rankings.
But it is close at the top. Button, Alonso and Hamilton are all within 3 points. So it is really close. And just like Lou, you can make the difference by finding things that I haven't spotted that deserve points.
Can I get Fernando Alonso back to his rightful position at the top of the leaderboard, or is that cheating? Am I allowed to help too?
You certainly
I do want to champion Fernando Alonso on Twitter, because I think it has shown a completely different side to him. It's made him more likable. He's a completely different person than you. Well, he's a different character than you would maybe expect.
I think he has changed a lot of people's opinions about him since he has opened up on the social network.
That is the power of Twitter.
It's been very interesting. And I think that's partly why he managed to sustain such a lead, because it was just like every week something new and exciting that you just wouldn't expect from Fernando Alonso. Great photography, all these pictures and things that he does with the fans that we just didn't know about before.
It's very close to the top. Lewis Hamilton is also in with a shout. So if you're a Lewis Hamilton fan and you think he deserves more points, and if you're keeping a close eye on him and you spot something that Christine has missed, how do people let you know about points-worthy doings?
Well, there's a form on sidepodcast.com/rankings that you can fill in, or you can tweet me at F1Rankings, or as always, emailing christine@sidepodcast.com.
Good stuff. And if you follow F1 Rankings on Twitter, you can make sure you never miss out on any interesting goings on from the drivers. That was better. We should do every show
twice. That's all I've got.
You just turned the television off.
That's because you keep watching it. It was The Athletic, so it was easy to not to ignore that, but it changed to something else and now you can't stop looking at it.
It wasn't distracting me.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yes. And now you've just told everyone that we're watching TV.
Well, to be honest with you, I'd only just noticed it was on, and then it went off. Some diver just hit his head. Anyway.
I told you it was distracting. We were supposed to be watching the Athletic so that we can be knowledgeable for the Olympics.
We?
Oh, me. I'm excited.
I'm glad that you're excited. I have absolutely no idea what's going on with the Olympics.
Well, it's not fair because I want to be excited about it as the Olympics because I like the Olympics. Mm. I watched it 4 years ago and it was brilliant. I think I haven't really watched it much. That might have been my first one. I don't know. But
it wasn't on Soap Podcast back then, was it? We didn't do the Olympics on Soap Podcast.
No.
This is your first chance to do it.
Yeah. And I'm really excited. But everyone is so down on the Olympics because it's taken over their lives and they hate it. So it's a bit like, I don't want to say anything because everyone's so grumpy about it.
I'm not grumpy about it. Do you know what? I'm grumpy about everything but the Olympics. That's interesting, isn't it? I'm quite excited by the Olympics. Although I don't really know why because it's not my thing. But... It doesn't.
You'll get into it though. You've said that about the football. You've said that about the tennis, and I've seen you sat here commenting all the time.
I was trying to watch the Olympics then when you turned the television off.
Yes.
Well, we're going to talk about the meetup on the show.
Oh yeah, if you want.
I'll try and be positive about it.
Right. So that's it. That's all we've got. We've done the news. We've made our predictions. I'm pretty sure that's all we have to say.
There is one last thing on my list.
Okay.
And that is this coming Thursday, prior to the next Feed Up Friday, I guess, interestingly enough, is going to be the very last ever Side Podcast real life meetup. We're doing more and more and more of these virtual online live things, and we'll be expanding them later this season. Excuse me. We'll be expanding them later this season and into next season. There'll be more virtual things and there'll be more meetups, international global meetups. But this week we are bringing an end to real life meetups in London. It will be the final, very final, and I genuinely mean this. This is the last time you will ever get to meet me, ever. So if you listen to this show ahead of Thursday the 26th, is it?
Yep.
If you're listening to this show ahead of Thursday the 26th and you're near the Coal Hole on the Strand in London, do come along. Do come and meet us. It's the last time you're going to have a chance to do that.
Well, you're so dramatic about it. But it's worth saying that it's the last official one, but... people can still write posts about their individual meetups that they're having. And
I'm absolutely for other people getting together with each other and having meetups and
we sharing will promote pictures that and stuff. And
we will talk about it on the show and we can, you know, help get people together. So long as I don't have to come to it, you can have as many meetups as you like.
Yes.
I don't want to sound like a big grumpus, but it's not my thing.
It's
I'm definitely all about the online and the virtual.
It's been tricky the last few that we've tried to attend, and we've sort of come to the point where it's like the money and time that we've spent on these things would be better spent on the virtual and embracing a wider audience, and that is what we would like to concentrate on, especially when we have so many plans and things that now that we've revamped the website and everything, there's so much that we want to do with it. And it's about time we started doing it instead of saying, we've got so many plans
and never
doing them.
Lukey in the comments has asked, he doesn't understand why it's the last real
life. I've just explained it.
Yes, but I can summarise it even better than you just did. The money that we spent on the Goodwood meetup that didn't happen and the London meetup that will happen. Go on. Why are you shaking your head?
I just said all that, but okay.
Okay, then I'll leave it there. Fine. I won't go on. No, that's fine. No, you're shaking your head at me.
No, go on.
No, it's fine. Well, just that the money we spent on it, we could have bought a server to bring back SidePod Panel and SidePod Radio. And I'd rather do SidePod Panel and SidePod Radio. You didn't mention either of those things.
No, I didn't.
And that's why it should be the last one. No, it's fine. No, you ruined my mojo. No, you're shaking your head at me.
Well, you have to do something. Cause...
Lukey in the comments has just said, I still do not understand why it's the last real life meetup, but I can summarize that. I can nail that in one simple explanation. The money that we've spent in the last however many weeks on the Goodwood meetup that didn't happen and the upcoming meetup is exactly the amount of money that we could have spent on a live server which would bring back SidePod Radio, it would bring back SidePod Panel, two huge features on SidePod Cast, and both of those reach audiences of about 18,000 people. And the meetups at Goodwood in London, they meet, well, you'd have met maybe a dozen or 18 people. And not, 18,000 people, but just 18 people. And if you look at how the money could have been spent and the people, the enjoyment that could have been brought to thousands of people compared to the enjoyment that will be brought to a dozen people, it just doesn't make sense to spend that money and that time on such a very narrow, section of the audience. It just doesn't make much sense. And I think the very first meetup we ever did, which was a Science Museum meetup, it felt like we were leaving a lot of people behind, because that was in London and we it was very location specific. And at the time, somehow, and I don't even now know how we did it, but we managed to live stream from a field, from a park in London, to the comments by taking a mobile system along with us and integrating it with the wider audience. And even back then, it felt like it should have been more expansive and inclusive than it was. And since then, the meetups have just got more narrow and less inclusive to everybody. And it's time to bring them to an end. It's time to do more international things like this live stream that reaches out to as many people who would dare tune into such waffle. That better? Yeah, you didn't frown at me that time.
You it's just you started saying the money we could have spent.
Yes,
and that was exactly what I just said.
Well, all right, okay, fine. It's just SidePod Radio is preferable. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Good. Right.
That's a really depressing end.
Oh.
This show has been depressing.
Well, I am slightly depressed. That's the problem. I could talk about Sky and the fact that I'm not watching this weekend. That's not less depressing.
Let's leave that. Okay.
Not a lot of positivity in Formula 1 right now.
So that is next Thursday. There are details on the website if you want to turn up. I will link to it in the show notes. And that really is all that we have to talk about. I think I've said that about three times already. But it's Germany this weekend, and then it's Hungary next weekend. But we may or may not be back with the show in between times.
Will there be enough Formula One news to sustain our... Well... Hold on. I'm trying to think of a positive word. Hold on. What's like the positive thing of this? Like, not motivation, but our, like, enthusiasm.
Momentum.
That's the word. Will there be enough Formula One news to sustain our momentum?
That would be three in a row. Three podcasts in a row. We haven't done that for a long time.
Thank you to the commenters. Thank you to everybody who's joined us today. Thank you for sticking with us. No.